Go. Joe, welcome to the Magic Academy podcast. Did you want to tell everybody where you are?
Yeah, just currently in New Zealand at the moment, in Auckland, in lockdown. So it's a little bit different from being locked down back home, but a little bit better weather. But no, still, just locking down, staying away from Corona.
And whereabouts in Auckland you are?
Which is in Parnell, so like just outside the city, so literally halfway between training and the city, so it's nice. We can still get into stuff, well, we could anyway before this happened. So
and how you find, well, how were you finding the city, how were you finding New Zealand, what stuff were you enjoying about it?
Yeah, it was good actually. It was nice. It was, when we first went there, obviously people said that it was crazy busy, and like it's obviously the biggest city, or like the most busy city in New Zealand. We got there and I think you kind of compare it to London naturally, and it wasn't as busy as London, but no, it was good. Like it's got everything you need and everything. It's a nice city. There's obviously nice views and everything, and just it's easy to get outside the city too, and just like go see like cool things, like cool beaches, and get around and see the country really.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times actually, and the same as you. People say, "Oh, it's Auckland. It's the capital city. It's pretty big." And I'm from the north of England. There's lots of people know, and it's probably smaller than Newcastle in terms of the city itself. However, the fact that you can get the beaches really quickly, and an hour out of Auckland, you're into the countryside, aren't you? And into single track roads.
Literally middle of nowhere. Yeah. And then just some random house on the side of the road, and it's just like, it's just literally, yeah.
Beautiful. And you've been to the South Island, haven't you? You said you've been out to Hobbit World in Queenstown.
Yeah, we went to Queenstown not too long ago. Got a week off. We went down and did everything there, and oh, it's just amazing. Like, it's just. I think the best thing like about this country, like genuinely, is you can go anywhere and you've got everything. Like you can surf, you can go up mountains, you can do literally anything. So, and literally in not too long from each other. So nah, it's all good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Well, mate, well, as I've already said, thanks for coming. I've just got a few questions. I've got some questions from people who used to work in the Pathway, Neil Taylor and various other people.
Oh, nice.
And the questions too. So we'll try and get through as many as we possibly can. I want to start as we often start, which is at the beginning, mate. That's where did you start playing rugby? Why did you start? Talk me through the early days.
Early days, I started when I was like around six at Winchester. Winchester Rugby Club, I played there all the way through pretty much till Colts. My dad was a coach and he just took me along. I just loved it. Just like played at school and everything. My school, Henry Botha, we didn't really have... We didn't have like a proper like rugby team. There wasn't too many rugby players, but we managed to get a team out. Went to Peter Simmons in Winchester as well. And just literally all my schools were probably about a mile from each other. So yeah, it's been literally just Winchester really. And then moved up to Quinns a bit later on. And I was been at Quinns for was in the under 18s. Been with them for 6 years now.
So just in terms of the early days of Winchester, did your dad coach all the way through? Was he somebody who's been constant as a coach?
He coached me like some years, some not. But mostly through my career, he has. He coached at my college as well. He coached at Winchester for like on and off, like here and there when he could. And then when I went to college, he was coached there. But he did like some county stuff as well. So he was always around. Always around when I was doing my rugby and everything. So yeah,
and that would be quite common. The vast majority of coaches within the community game are dads or mums. How did you find it? How did you find being coached by your dad a lot?
It was all right. He's a good coach. He's quite an intense coach, but he's when the session ends, obviously everyone would be like, oh. You know, they go home and then I go home and it'll be, there's the session hasn't ended, like kind of thing. It'll always be, you know, still talking about like things that happened in the game, even to the next day, following week. And it'll be like, what about this? What about this? And just, yeah, rugby all the time, really. Yeah. Like even watching games for, for fun. Like if you're just watching like Premiership or you know like anything on the TV, it'd always be a learning session. So yeah, it was always there was always that aspect. But no, it was all good. Yeah.
And was there any other coaches in Winchester who you'd want to give a shout out to? Anybody who had good impact on you or had some impact?
Yeah, had a few coaches at Winch. AD Mort was one. He actually passed not too long ago. He coached me quite a bit there. And we had a lot of dads at the club as well. Dads of all the boys and stuff. So a lot of them did a lot of the coaching and helped out and everything. And yeah, they're all good guys and all definitely helped with my journey.
And who was what was the best things that, or what's the stuff that you can remember that thought, that was helpful, either the coaching or the environment? What sort of stuff at Winchester was helpful?
To be honest, just the kind of like first sense of like being in a team. Like we had a good age group from under six all the way to under 16s, where we had a good like good group of players and we learned off each other. Obviously, grew up together. There was pretty much, we all came from three schools, really. Most of them went to these two schools who, when they played against each other, was like a really good rival game. When we played against them, against Kings and Westgate. And we played against them, we didn't do too well against either of them. But when they played against each other, it was literally Winchester v Winchester. So, yeah, it was, it's all good. And then we all went to the same college as well, which was nice. We all jumped in together and it was just good like being part of a team from a young age, like making friends like through that way and just having like a shared interest. Now it was good, and obviously it led on to wanting to still be in that environment and still be in that kind of team thing now. Yeah.
So what was what advice would you give the coaches at clubs in terms of people such as yourself or other players? Obviously, lots of people have different motivations of why they play. What sort of advice would you give to coaches involved in a rugby club or a school?
Just to try and engage with every player, because like you, as you see, going through, there's so many different players that are just got different ways of thinking and are at different levels, either like growing or you know like maturity, like just everything really. Like I was like tiny growing up, and like just being able to just be with each other and just learning off all the boys and making sure that everyone's actually getting the most out of the session, because you can definitely see the kids that drift off and maybe aren't quite in it or enjoying it. So just to make sure everyone's really all sticking in there and just learning the basics, because even now, like, it comes back to the basics so often. Like, even it could be is a two-on-one to finish a try. And you'd be felt like so many times, even in the professional game, like, you miss the opportunities. But it's literally those things which happen all the time in minis rugby. So making sure all the basics are great.
But how would you describe Winchester in three words? What would be the words that you would use in terms of your experiences as a rugby club?
As a rugby club, it was fun. It was, I don't know, it's just a bit of a home, really. I was just there all the time. Fun, home, and... Oh, I don't know. Just amazing. Just loved it.
Amazing. Well, that's pretty good, mate. When did you realise that you were reasonably good? And actually, I want to sort of see how far this can go. Maybe I've got an opportunity of doing pretty well around stuff. Can you remember what it was?
Yeah, I always wanted to be like a professional rugby player. I was in the London Irish Academy when I was like, until I was 15, I think I maybe joined when I was like 11 or 10 or something. And then I got let go from them. And I always just still wanted, like, it was obviously a tough one because you go back from being potential. I think I was in the silver group. And you go from being in that set, you can see the pathway, you know. And then when you get let go, where you're like, oh god, like, okay, that closed up kind of thing. But just being able to just crack on and just know what I still wanted to do. And I literally I went play for my school, play for Winch, play for Peter Simmons and stuff. And then, yeah, I got an opportunity to train with Quins, and I did a 3-day trial with them the end of the summer. And then I joined in the under 18s from that. And from there, yeah, it just went, yeah, it just escalated really. I ended up playing an A-League game when I'd at 13, which I'd never played 13 before. Yeah. Well, yeah, because that was, yeah, around the time.
I can remember. I watched the game. I've probably still got a copy of the game somewhere. How did you feel when it didn't go well at Irish? I mean, you say you're in the silver group and then you got released at 15. How did you feel? What was your, you know, what sort of stuff did you do?
I was absolutely gutted. As I think you would, like anyone would be. Like they obviously let a lot of people go. For me, I was playing scrum half at the time, and I had skills and everything, but I just wasn't there physically, and I just knew that I just needed to keep developing and keep working. So I just kept doing all those things, kept making sure I was getting quicker and bigger and everything. And then because I was quite a late birthday as well, so I was in July.
Yeah, you're July.
So then naturally, like when it got to I don't know, probably when I got to like maybe 17 18, I was still quite small, but then I still kept trying to develop, and I think that's when a lot of people like kind of had hit their size and had hit like what they were. They're probably still the same size now, and like I remember I joined Quins at like 86 kilos and now I'm like 96, so like the jump there is still been huge. So I just wanted to keep developing and keep developing the whole way through.
I want to, who was the person that brought you into Quins? Do you want to give them a shout out? Who was the guy that gave you the opportunity, or who were the people you were working with?
So the coaches, yeah, was Howard Graham and yeah, Jim Evans. They were the under 18 coaches. And yeah, Tony Diprose was the academy manager. So they were the guys there, and then it was actually I got a call from Tony Diprose about the A-League game, and they were just like, we need someone to sit on the bench, and yeah, I was like, I'll definitely do it, and I literally played one of the under 18s tournaments, and obviously like this was going into a men's game. I don't think I played a men's game before either, and yeah, ended up going on at 13, and I was like, yeah, I'll definitely do it, and then yeah. End up playing 13 since. So.
Yeah, there is a sissy. Because when I first watched you play and I was aware of you, you used to play fly half. So you played fly half at the college. Whatever positions have you played? So you mentioned scrum half. What positions have you played when? And which one's your favourite?
So I dotted around a lot, actually. I played a little, when I was younger, I played a little bit of hooker and back row, just because they were the new kind of ones, especially when back rows came in. I was still tiny, but I wanted to play it a little bit, and I loved it, like tackling and trying to get turnovers and everything.
I can imagine you with back row. You would terrorise people at back row.
Yeah, no, I was honestly so small, so I wasn't terrorised, but I was just trying to get as many turnovers. I loved George Smith, so I was just trying to be him like the whole time. So, so I played 9, and then I moved out to 10 and was playing like, 10 and 15. And that was when, around the kind of joining Quins time, I went there as like a fly half slash fullback. And then, yeah, it wasn't too long before, yeah, then I became like a centre, really. So I played at 13. I played a little bit of 12.
I think the first time I seen you play for Quins, you played 12.
So I played a little bit there. And then 13's now my position. But I love, my favourites are definitely 13. And 7, I reckon. Yeah. Anytime we get a yellow card or anything, I'm genuinely like straight. I'm like, I'll go in, and I do. I love it. So.
Oh, mate, I can definitely imagine. And I mean, what you think of it? Lots of people would talk about it. Lots of people pay lip service. I hear a lot of noise around young people being afforded opportunities to play in different positions. Not that many people do it, unfortunately. I mean, what's the benefits of doing it? How do you think it's helped you?
I think it helped me honestly so much, because it's more than learning just your position. I think you actually learn rugby, like, and it sounds like a weird one, but you, like, especially going from 9 to 10, you know what you want as a 10. Like if you've played 9, or you know, or the same the other way around, like you know what you actually want from like from that player to do. Same with like playing at 10 and then going to 13 and or the other way around or whatever. You know, just rugby and like what things actually work well and what people want. So it's the same like now, like I've been playing a little bit on the wing as well and going, especially defensively, knowing what the wingers would want from me as a 13, because I've been on the wing, it just helps me talk and helps me communicate and actually be more specific with what I'm doing and help everyone else out.
Have you ever thought about this around your, a bit of a jack of all trades and master of none, or how do you think about that?
What do you mean? Like,
as in you can play in lots of positions, but actually maybe it's a cop out for coach. They might say, well, look, we'll pick Joe on the bench because he can sort of cover lots of positions.
Yeah, that's the dangerous one, which I feel like, yeah, it's quite easy to get into that. But yeah, that's why I was quite lucky really that I actually became 13, where it's quite like a specific position, especially like defensively. Like it's like a tough position to play. So I think getting like a position which was like my position, and then being able to go into others, I think it's been helpful. But yeah, there's you see so many guys who like there's a guy like at Quinn's, James Lang, who he's awesome at 10, 12, 13 and fullback. And he's still like he'll have a couple of good games at one position. He's like, nah, I want to play there. And then next week he'll have a couple of good games at another. And he's like, nah, I want to play there. Like, it's just, you know, it's one of those. It's a tough one to get into. But I think you just got to nail your position, but know you want to be able to play other places and go there as well.
Yeah, I mean, my take on it, I actually think it's a strength. I think lots of coaches, I'm sure Eddie would be thinking the same. Certainly, conversation I have with coaches is, they'd want the best players on the pitch. You know, if you take Daly, if you take JJ, you know, they don't really play in the outside backs, but they play across the outside backs. JJ, I think, would make a fantastic fullback. Aerial, he's probably the best player I've ever coached. One of the best players I've ever coached. He was. So personally, I actually think it's a strength.
That's 100%.
Looking to get the best players on. I'm not sure if you were part of the squad where we actually had about five guys who had played for their school at Fly Half. And they were all in the team, but they were able to play in multiple positions. And it was phenomenal to watch because they were really skillful players. Yeah. This is the first question from one of the gang. So Peter Walton asks, why are you getting the ball forward without running into people? So, you know, Walton probably have a preference around you. Trying to run over somebody, but yeah, well, how comes you were so good at, you know, your movement off the ball, on the ball? Where's that come from?
I think that comes from being just genuinely being a small kid. Like, you have to keep away from players, and if you don't, then you're not going anywhere. Like, you're just going backwards. So like, yeah, I always tried like footwork and everything like that, and just wanted to always try and beat people without them touching me, because I knew that like if they got me or if they got like a hand to me, then usually that was it. Like, I'd obviously try and fight as much as I could to break the tackle, but like if they got close, then I would be tackled. So just going forward, I just kept trying to keep that, and now I've found that I'm still, yeah, there's still obviously so many a lot bigger boys, but like when you do get that, someone does get a small bit of a hand to you, that's when like the handoff or just trying to fight away, it actually does help. But I don't think the running into people life is for me. It's definitely not.
No,
so I'll keep trying to avoid people.
So have you been coached around it? Has anybody sort of noticed it and tried to make it even better? Or is it just something you've always been able to do because of the old environment?
Not really. It's like, it's always something that's just, I've just always wanted to be able to do. Obviously, you look at highlights and everything, you know, when you're younger and you're growing up and you're looking at all the best steppers and like, you know, all that, and I love doing that and trying to do other people's steps like Quay Cooper and just, you know, Jason Robertson, like all different kinds of people, how they step, and just trying to do those all the time. And yeah, I still do it now. Like, if I see someone who's got like a decent step, I'll still be like, I'll give it a go just when I'm just messing around, just trying, because if it's something that works, then you got to give it a go, really.
So how much rugby would you watch ever when you were little, or as you're going through your career, or even now? How much of the game do you actually watch?
I watched like loads. We had it. So yeah, this is kind of where the Super Rugby thing came, because we used to watch like pretty much every Friday and Saturday morning. We had Super on the TV, and it was always, you know, from like 6 a.m. to whenever the show's finished, like maybe 10 or 11. And it was always on, like, especially on Saturdays when I didn't have school, was literally morning of Super Rugby, and then afternoon would be of a you know, Prem Rugby, or if there was like Six Nations or Autumn Internationals or something like that. So just watched rugby all the time. But yeah, like I said, like with Dad and stuff, it was he would always be like pausing it, rewinding it, and, you know, like asking questions all the time, which obviously I think that helped a lot. But obviously now when I go home and watch games and stuff, and obviously I'm there with my phone, and like, you go on Instagram, and obviously the score pops up, but you're 10 minutes behind because he's rewound it and asked you questions, and I'm like, I know what's happening now. So yeah.
He's cool, mate. Your dad, I can remember, well, I've seen him obviously lots of times, and he's just, I just love talking to him. He's just, I mean, intense would be warmer, but he just loves the sport. He loves talking about it.
He loves rugby. Yeah, he loves rugby.
And he's just so curious as well. You know, he's not a guy that's telling you everything that he knows. He's asking questions. He's just, one of the biggest gifts I had in terms of working with England, working around rugby, is just watching the relationship between the player and his family, often parents. Oh. And it was just, I particularly used to enjoy watching your dad.
He's a legend. He's a funny one.
Mate, were you rugby heroes as you were growing up, or over the last 2 or 3 years? So you mentioned some guys who you sort of watched a bit and you try and copy them. Anybody else you would give a shout out to?
So George Smith was definitely one. Adam Ashley Cooper, I absolutely loved. Who else? Obviously Johnny Wilkinson, loved. I'd say that, those were probably the main three. And we played against Bristol not too, like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I had a picture with George Smith when I was really young. And he was playing for them that year. And it was just like last year. And I asked for a picture with him after the game. And I felt like such a fanboy, but I just had to get in there. But maybe hear me, Adam Ashley Cooper. I used to love just watching him on TV, like especially like playing Super and like playing for Australia and stuff. I love them.
Mate, so let's just start talking around the pathway. So you start to get pretty good. You've had this experience of Irish. You're now in the Quins via Hampshire. So I assume you played Hampshire County all the way through. Through to 18s and stuff. What's the stuff you can remember about the pathway? So either Quins or the England stuff. What was the stuff that you enjoyed?
So obviously going on to the camps and stuff, I enjoyed like the Quins summer camps and the summer training. And again, it was like the first kind of like reintroduction of like that kind of Premiership rugby training and everything in that pathway. Same with like England, like under 18s and even onto like 20s, just going on to camps and being like just playing like training with and playing with loads of guys who are all your same age, but they're obviously so good, and you're looking around and it's pretty, the skill level for especially under 18s and stuff was crazy. And it was one of the times where I was like, oh, you know, you just want it even more because you're in that environment and you just want to be, you know, you want to be the best, you want to be you want to try and get as like to develop as much as you can. And then when going on to Quins as well and actually being in the full-time mix, like training daily and stuff, the first couple of years was like awesome, like because, you know, it was so new and it was your job and you're 18 and your job is to play rugby, literally the one thing you've wanted to do. So yeah, it was all pretty good. Yeah, the nice thing with the 20s was going back to playing with people your own age, because like I played a little bit with Quins and stuff, like men's, and obviously we've been training a lot, but going back to playing with people your own age again just made it a bit, I don't know, like made it feel like when you're playing back at Winch and everything, you know, with all your mates and stuff. So that's all nice.
Yeah, I think that's one of the benefits of being part of the pathway is you just get a different experience. You know, some of it's a different experience, and certainly you're you're only 20 years because you guys won the World Cup in England, didn't you, against Ireland in the final. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's... You guys played. I watched, well, obviously it was in England, so we went to watch the whole time. That's when Hoggy was head coach.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Neil Taylor, yeah, Penny. Yeah, you had a great management team, and the quality of rugby that you played was as good as any of the others. Or, you know, certainly a couple of the games, Australia game, I remember, was just phenomenal rugby.
Yeah.
So it was, in terms of the, so you mentioned the pathway. How did you transit? How did you find the transition from age group stuff? So, you know, whether it be England or the Quins age group stuff into the first team, or what was that like? What was your, what stuff did you notice?
I think the firstly going into the senior stuff, so going from playing like under 18s to A-League stuff, was the fact that you're the young kid and you just got like you've got a bit of a license just to go and, you know, just to express yourself and like kind of be in the team. And it was just like amazing like experience. And the thing I actually found quite difficult about going back to playing like under 18s games after that is you've almost got this like added pressure because you've played that. Like, especially for me, because I played at 13 in all those games, but I'd never, in like, I think it was like, I ended up playing 580 games at 13 where I had no idea what I was doing. And then going into playing the under 18s, and they were like, "Well, you've played like you played 13 in the A League, like, so you're playing in the under 18s at 13." And I still obviously was pretty clueless, but you're coming up against guys who have been like playing in the centres like their whole lives, and they're obviously the under 18s, they're like really good players, and you're there, and it's just, I just found it really, really tricky. But then going into it and just trying to get your head around that, and then moving forward, I think. Was literally just to make sure I was just getting comfortable in the team and just feeling comfortable in training and still pushing myself, obviously, but making sure that like I was always going and going, and then I found, obviously, you go into training full time with Quins and everything, and then it becomes that kind of, okay, I'm part of this team now, I'm obviously working with the boys, and I want it, like, obviously want to be the starting 13 for Quins and blah blah, and I want to. And you just start developing all that stuff again. So,
how was your loan experience? Because you were in the Scottish, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to Worthing first on loan.
That's right, you went to Worthing and then Scottish. Yeah.
Yeah. So both places I played on the wing. So I obviously went to Worthing to get obviously experience in the centres, and I ended up playing on the wing there. And then the same thing happened. Scottish, I went to get experience at Quins. They were obviously like, look, We want you to play, but we want you to get experience at 13, experience defending there, blah, blah. And then I go there, and then they were like, we think you're a winger. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to tell them, like, show them that I've developed at 13 if I'm not playing there. And then, yeah, so I only played like 8 games or so for them. I got injured, came back and played in the under 20s Six Nations, which we didn't do too well that year. That was the year we actually really struggled. But then went in after that and played for Quins, made, I think I played like 8 games or so between the end of the Six Nations and the World Cup, and then Junior World Cup. Yeah, we went on and we absolutely smashed it, and we played against Ireland in the final, and yeah, we just went out there. I think our first meeting with Huggy, he was like, let's just look, we know obviously what everyone thinks of us, so we didn't have too good of Six Nations, but you know, we've got an opportunity here, we've got some really good players around us, let's just go enjoy it, let's show what we can do, and let's just have a really good tournament. And literally every game we did that, and we end up winning it.
Yeah, as we've already said, you absolutely smashed it. Often the under 26 Nations would be a little bit hitty-missy with people not available, big changes to teams. Other countries would be the same. So the Six Nations is not really a good indication of what's going to happen in the Junior World Cup. But anyway, the Junior... Right, I want to now get into the... So how did it come about that you end up going to, from Quins to Auckland? Really, really quickly, how did that come about?
He spoke to my agent. It's been something I've been speaking to him about for a while. But the timing was never right. Obviously, he said I wanted to play Super and playing Southern Hemisphere, and the timing was never really there because of like playing for Quins and all sorts. And then the opportunity came up where it was like it was the World Cup bit this summer just gone. Quins, the Premiership season got pushed back, the Super season got pushed forward, and they literally were going to finish at the same time. But also my contract with Quins was up as well, so like we had to Quins had already spoken to us about like renegotiating, and we just we just went to them. We're like, right, this is the time. We're gonna ask if we can go and play Super for the rest of the year. And Guzzy was really supportive. He was really good, and he understood all the reasons why I wanted to go, which was nice. And he obviously, I said, oh, I want to develop as a player. I want to be able to play on the other side of the world against different opponents, play a different style of rugby, and I just want to learn, basically. And he was really on board with it, and we got it all into place. And I left on the 2nd of January, I think. Yeah, so I've been here since.
So what were you expecting? What was the sort of stuff you were expecting, and how did it play out when you first
I was expecting, I was obviously expecting it to be quick, the rugby, but I didn't realise how quick it was going to be. Honestly, the first couple of training sessions, I was absolutely dying. The heat as well,
why is it so quick?
I think just the speed of ball, really. Like, just honestly, it's just like the offloading game, and just in attack, there's just such an emphasis on everyone being able to do everything, and it's not necessarily like as structured in terms of, you know, like we're gonna like hit up and stuff. Like we'll have like a lot of times where, you know, you've got you want to get around the corner or play with the fours and stuff, but it'll be second rows getting in their hands and making a half break and offloading, and then like stuff which I'm not expecting, and then like the next guy, and it'll be a back row, and then sometimes it'll be like 3-4 forwards who have touched it, made a bit of a gain line, and then offloaded, and then I'm there like, it's just crazy quick, and it they do that in all the conditioning games and everything. There's that emphasis on always going forward, which was something which was, it got me a bit, because I was a bit obviously behind it, and I was coming back from an injury anyway, so I was trying to keep up with everything, and I was just absolutely dying like every day. And then we end up playing, we had two preseason games against we play the Chiefs and the Hurricanes, which both went really well, which we won, and they were just create like ridiculously quick games, and then we started the season. So I thought as well coming here that there was obviously that myth about the defense, and how they say it's like optional defense and like Super Rugby, like that's what they kind of say, didn't they? Like
that's what lots of people say, it's quick, that's because nobody's up bothered about tackling or defense. And
I thought, like, coming over here that I'd maybe be able to, you know, put that kind of, you know, Premiership, like, good defensive mindset on it, and, you know, but I just couldn't get set. I couldn't get set quick enough, and you understand why, like, there's a lot more missed tackles and everything, because the play is so quick, you just can't, like, you can't even get set to go up and take the space away. You can't even get a good defensive line set where they're not going to be able to go through. There's always gaps, there's always... there's always holes. So that has been something we've been trying, especially the Blues, really hard to close up the gaps and to get good line speed.
So what's I just want to pick on a couple of things. So you mentioned the low numbers, or the forwards is what lots of people call them. So why are they so skillful? What's the stuff that you've noticed either in training or just generally talking to them, or what's the stuff you've noticed about the low numbers?
I think just the fact that in a lot of the drills, it's everyone's kind of doing the same thing. Whereas quite traditionally, I think backs and forwards will split off and do, you know, set piece. It'll be scrums and line outs, and then backs will do their moves and do like con games and stuff like that. But quite often, like, everyone's doing everything, and there's not really a lot of time for units where we split off. Maybe at the end, just to do a couple of lineups and scrums and for us to do some backs plays. But most of the session, it's like everyone doing it together. And then if we do have a split, it will be like also the guy, the people in the house, who are
more like in the middle of the pitch, and then it'll be the back rows and the centres and the wingers like, all together, because we're kind of on the outsides. And so everyone will be doing everything. Everyone will be making the same calls. Like if you've got a back rower on the edge and he's seeing the space, he'll call it rather than like just waiting for a back to like look for the space and make a decision. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. Yeah.
Oh, mate. I'm excited, which I would be, because I'm the same as you. I'm that person that Friday night, Saturday, Super Rugby. I've got, you know, I used to support the Crusaders, of course I did, because he used to win everything. Then I went to Hurricane, because they won a bit. I'm definitely with you around the Super Rugby. So what's the, well, what about the skill games? So you mentioned the skill games, just share that. What sort of skill games do they play? What's the emphasis? What's the purpose of the games?
It's mainly just to get a lot of running in, is the main thing, to get a lot of meters up. There's a massive emphasis on boys, like before training they'll have a certain amount of meters to kind of hit, so it'll be your high speed meters rather than just normal just trotting around. So like everyone will have like a target, and basically if you don't hit those by the end of the session, then you've got to do speed, like you've got to run and do your speed hit top ups at the end. So all the conditioning games and everything will have a massive like quick ball offload emphasis, and it will always be, it'll either be, you know, your moves at speed, so you do your set piece stuff and it will go into play straight away, and maybe chuck another ball in here and there, and the emphasis on not just to kick it out and get a line out, but to keep the ball in play. And if you're going to kick long, get a chase up, and then, you know, counter attack opportunities and all that kind of stuff, which I think in the Premiership quite a lot of the time, if you've gone, especially in your own half, if you've gone a couple of phases, maybe you'd get rid. But here there's maybe that more of emphasis to be like, right, we're going to break him, or we're going to kick it long and let them run it back, get the ball back and then play. So I think the ball's in play a lot longer here. So
yeah, I mean, the stats and the information is definitely, yeah, the ball is in play. Lots of teams in the Southern Hemisphere would deliberately want to keep the ball in play. In the Northern Hemisphere, maybe that's not everybody's view on the game. So in terms of the skill games, so how did you find your skill level? So I would say that you're a very skillful player, playing in multiple positions. From a national age group player, you would be, you know, top percentages of skills, both sides of the ball. So very skillful. How would you compare to players over there? Would you be more skillful players in training?
Oh, I don't think so. Like I don't know. I feel like I just kind of in the mix of all the players. But you get the boys who are like straight out of, you know, like rather than having like academy boys here, they'll have guys who will just be like invited in, and even those boys, their skills are crazy good. Like they'll be throwing offloads and they'll be being able to get their hands. It's not even just an offload, it'll just be getting your hands free and stuff like that. And I think everyone's just so good at it, like just naturally, because that's what everyone does. So I found I obviously just tried to jump in at the deep end and just get amongst it. But yeah, I think everyone's got a good level of skill, especially in the backs. Yeah.
And what have you noticed about the coaches? Anything different of the coaches around the Blues to maybe coaches from the Northern Hemisphere, without naming names? So what's the general stuff that you've noticed?
To be honest, look, in terms of coaching, there's not too much difference. There's obviously you still have your reviews and you still have everything. You still have your one-on-ones and you talk about everything, which is you know, the same both ways. Maybe. I don't know. I think leaving it up to the players a little bit more here is maybe something which is a bit bigger in terms of the players not running a session, but the players are making the points. And, you know, when you bring it in, like the players talking and if there's certain things that maybe a player wants to get out of it, or like an extra drill or something, or like they won't be afraid to say it or to be like, right, let's do it again kind of thing. Obviously they do it back home as well, but yeah, I think maybe just the players leading it a little bit more here is a bit bigger.
And what have you noticed about the fitness stuff? So you mentioned before high speed meters is something that they measure. Have you noticed anything else about the gym sessions or the physical prep stuff that you're doing?
I think the gym stuff back home is they do a lot more thinking towards it. There's a lot more, especially at Quinn's, we had a lot more gym sessions and, like, you know, where we're actually doing full strength stuff. So we'll be squatting, like doing full lower body days and full upper body days, and then we'd also be doing like a power / total body day. But here there'll be one day, maybe on the Monday or something, where you get your squat and your bench in, so you do your upper body as like a total, and then the rest of the days it's kind of just power and or just a little bit of a top up. And then we've been gymming all the way up, so we do a little bit of a pump the day before the game as well, which we've never done. I've never done at Quinn's, which is a little bit different. It's nothing big. It's just like just little power hit, and then on the day of the game as well, we do a little bit of stuff in the morning, which is again something that I haven't done at home. So just a little bit different in terms of that, I think. But I think you can maybe see that because of the emphasis. Obviously, back home the Prem, you have to be. It's such a physical competition. You have to be physically there. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have the emphasis on actually putting the size on and you know, getting some really, really good weight work in. Whereas here, I think because everyone's they want things to be a little bit quicker, a little bit more power based, I think you can definitely see a difference.
And how do you feel? So you've said you've done a couple of things that are slightly different, lots of ways it's gonna cut. So you do some stuff close to the game. How has it made you feel in the game? Do you feel different? Does it help? Does it not?
I don't know. I haven't really seen too much of a difference. Like, I think, I think it'd be one of those things which you'd have to really, really strip it down. But I'm kind of focusing on the game a little bit too much to be thinking, oh, how do I actually feel? Because I think if I was like, oh, actually, do I feel more tired from doing a gym session? Then it'd probably get in my head a bit, and then I'd be like, oh God, and then mm-hmm. I'd be blaming myself because I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But no, I think I feel all right, and I feel like my fitness maybe has gone up a little bit. My body weight stayed the same, which is quite good. Which I was a bit worried that it would drop coming here because I'm not very good at keeping on weight anyway. And especially with a lot of running meters and not as much gym, I thought that maybe it would drop. But no, it's been all right. I feel good anyway. But we've got, obviously, with this Corona, we've got a little bit of time now, pretty much like a mini pre-season anyway. So I think everyone's going to be trying to put on a bit of size maybe.
Nice. And mate, what about the psych stuff? So we've mentioned the physical training a bit. What have you noticed about the psych stuff? How does that compare to stuff you've done before? What's different?
The psych stuff, as in what? If people coming in or just the mentality stuff?
Yeah, no, just the. Do you have a psychologist? If so, what's the general stuff that you guys talk around at the Blues on the? What stuff have you noticed around the psychological support?
Yeah, they've got quite a big emphasis on they call it like PD sessions, which are personal development stuff, where they have people come in and they'll have people come in and talk about how you learn, talk about the brain, loads of different things. But we had a couple which were really interesting about basically trying to get the best out of people and trying to get them to be able to take as much like info as they can in and what works for some people and what doesn't. So there's a psychologist as well who comes in, but haven't really spent too much time with them. Just I think it's been quite hard actually getting in and getting used to everything. So I haven't really had too much of an emphasis on that. But a lot of the boys use it though. I think that's the same as back home really though. But.
And what's your thing? So I'm saying, because the things I noticed about you were. Probably the most diligent player I've ever coached. Like anybody who used to bring a black bin liner in his bag just in case it rained. I don't know if you can ever remember doing that. But it was like, yeah. It's blown away. I mean, sometimes the lads don't know where their boots are. And you were. So you were very diligent. You were very organized. You know, you always be there watching the video, watching training, asking questions, very curious. So that's something that it disappears. It comes quite natural to you. I mean, is that something that you've continued or?
Yeah, I think so. Like, organized off the pitch maybe isn't the same, but on the pitch, usually I'm in terms of training and everything like that, I'm usually there. Like, I still watch all the games and stuff. They're actually quite good. They have like laptops and stuff in all the like food areas. Right. So like, if you're they're quite big here on If you're watching your own clips or you're watching clips of training, of just grabbing people around, or if people are eating breakfast or eating stuff, just like kind of sitting next to you and just having a look as well, which I obviously love because I love like watching training and games and clips and everything. So yeah, it's good in that sense. But yeah, I'm still always trying to like pinpoint everything and pick apart my game and trying to improve everything. Yeah.
I'm not surprised to hear that. Man, how do you describe the culture? How do you describe the culture at the Blues?
The culture, it's good actually. I think there's quite a big, I don't know if it's like a New Zealand thing, but there's a quite big emphasis on actually like being a team and like being like a squad, and especially because I moved out here with my partner, and like just everything in terms of like the family and everything, they try and get a lot of like days, and a lot of the games they'll have another bus for the partners, and they'll try and involve everyone, and they'll have days where like everyone will come to the club. Even just in terms of after a game, like when we were in South Africa, especially like after the game, we end up like just with the boys in literally the team room for a while. We had beers and stuff in the middle, which was really nice. And there was like a guitar, and everyone was just, it was something which obviously I haven't really experienced too much, because I think, maybe because it's obviously you're at home, and especially at Queens and everything, you're at home and everything, and you know, you chill afterwards. But yeah, everyone there is just like, let's get together, let's be about the boys, let's have a little sing, let's have a good time. So the culture's really good actually. Yeah, I've enjoyed it here. Yeah, it's been good.
And what sort of stuff do they deliberately do? Have you noticed them sort of really being intentional around trying to develop the culture? I mean, you mentioned a few things with the family. Is there anything else like you've noticed around them, yeah, working hard to develop the environment and the culture at the club?
I think they have. With the building they've actually they've only had in the last couple of years, they wanted to, it's such an amazing building. They wanted to really like bring like the whole history of like the Blues into the building, which is something which is pretty cool. Like even like the middle of the very center of the building is like orange, like to symbol like the heart of it. Like even like all about red. So like just to, so I'm colorblind. So even to like symbolize like the heart of it, and even like the way up on the walls, and obviously there's all the people who have played for the club, and there's special moments, and there's things about like New Zealand heritage, and there's all sorts, and just little things like that. But then again, like around there's a guitar like in the team room, like there's obviously the laptops all around. So they just want to get everyone talking, everyone being around each other, everyone being on the same page. And I think that there's definitely a massive emphasis on that, and I think they're really achieving that, because all the boys, honestly, like all the boys will, there's no like cliqueiness, there's just all the boys are just there, like they're all, you know, that like if whoever's there, they'll sit with and chill with and have a laugh with.
And who are the players who have you connected the best with? Who's the guys?
There's a couple of guys. Probably Tom Robinson, he's got like long ginger hair. Probably a guy called Easy. Isaac, I can't even, like it's like Ezekiel, it's like Lyndon Murphy, he's a good boy. And then yeah, maybe a guy called Aaron Carroll. Mainly from the South Africa trips, you know, you just end up like just hanging around people a little bit more, like, or like you end up like next to a bit more, and just those guys you just end up getting a bit closer to. So yeah, those guys, yeah, I've got a bit closer.
Mate, here's what I've actually asked you a few questions from the guys in the pathway. This is a question from James Bell, Belly the Psych.
Oh, Belly, yeah.
Yeah, Belly. I was actually talking to him a couple of days ago on a podcast. He wants to know if you could take one player back to Quins. Who would it be and why?
Oh, if I could take one player back. Oh, it's a tough one, that. Probably at the moment, maybe. Oh God, maybe like Stephen Perifita.
Yeah,
he's been playing like 10 and fullback for us. He's been, he's a real nice guy, really chilled, but just he's just on it. Like, I think he just reads the game a little bit differently. He's just been awesome. Like,
Everything whether it's a 10 or... basically that's what I'm hearing you say.
pretty much yeah. Nah, he's a good boy. He's I think he'd fit in well as well, and he's just, you know, just got a good rugby brain on him, so yeah, I think he'd fit in quite well.
Oh man, that's cool, because you guys have gone well. I mean, you lost your first game, won the second, lost the third, but since then you've been unbeaten, haven't you? You're having a good season for the Blues, because it would be safe to say the Blues have probably underperformed for probably about 10 years.
Yeah, it's been one of those ones which everyone's obviously been saying about the Blues and everything, but literally when I rocked up, it didn't feel that way whatsoever, like even in terms of how the boys were talking. And then, yeah, we went and, yeah, before, I think after our last game, the Lions game, I mean, the Crusaders had to play like about a couple of hours later, but we were at top of the table at one point. And like it was, it was pretty good feeling, and to be able to have turned it around, especially as being the one that the team in the New Zealand Conference, which everyone says isn't the strongest hasn't been for a long time, to actually be like beating teams away from home, and to going again like in the South African legs, and you know, doing really well, and yeah, it's been so much good stuff. Yeah.
Well, look, fingers crossed, not that it can. You can get going again. Well,
thanks, mate.
I guess we'll have to wait and see, mate. Well, last couple of things. So, England, who's been in touch? Are they watching your games? What you're thinking around getting into the England squad? What sort of stuff you're thinking?
Obviously, yeah, I've been chatting a little bit, like here and there. Spoke to, obviously, in the summer, I spoke to Eddie just before. When I was kind of thinking about going, I asked him, what he thought about it, and he thought it'd be a really good learning opportunity as well. So yeah, we spoke about that, and yeah, we chatted a little bit here and there, but yeah, I'd obviously love to come back and like firstly obviously get back into the Quins team and try and, you know, really really push forward. I feel like we've got we can do a lot. We've got some really good players at the club, so especially there, I feel like we can really hit the ground running. But then hopefully, yeah, push on and make my way into the England team. That's obviously the dream, and that's what I wanted to do. And hopefully, being here has helped that.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty sure it can. I mean, it's a phenomenal experience. We were talking a little bit off camera around, you know, normally people go at a different stage in their career. So to have this opportunity really early in your career, three caps for England, 60 odd caps for Quins, it's clearly going to be an experience that hopefully is going to lead to bigger and better and brighter things. Just last thing on the England stuff. How would England compare to sort of what's happening at the Blues? Is there any stuff that's similar?
Oh, you've frozen.
Yeah,
what's
mate.
That, sorry, you froze a little bit.
Oh, sorry, mate. It's just around the England stuff. How would that compare to? You know, clearly it's different, I guess, to Quins. How does is it different to what's happening in the Blues? What's the best stuff about training with the England squad?
Yeah, obviously camps. Maybe I was kind of in a little bit here, in and out. I've been in and out a fair bit over the last couple of years. And then I think the only really big time I've actually spent in camp was probably this summer. Yeah, it was good. It was intense training. It was tough, and just being in the environment like the whole time, it was a lot of hard work, and getting to know the boys a little bit better. But yeah, it was just a really good like learning experience. And to be honest, going into like, camps and like coming here, I'm just honestly trying to learn like the whole time, just trying to just take as much in as I can, and just try and bring it back into my game. So like whenever I get back on the pitch, whether it's for Quins or whatever, that I've just tried to just like learn something and bring it back in. And they always talk about obviously like within like being there, like in camp and stuff, and in the squad, that you're there for a reason, and you're meant to be the top, you know, top level of players. So when you go back to your clubs, you're meant to show it. So that's just something that I've always tried to do, and just be like, right, okay, like every game I'm like, right, it's something new. I've got to be my best and got to perform.
Cool, mate. This is the last thing. It's a one-word answer. I know you're quite reflective, but the first word that comes in your head.
Oh God!
So I'm going to say some words. You're just gonna say.
This is the bit I might need to edit out because I'll say something wrong.
No, you won't, mate. I'm sure you won't. I mean, there is no wrong answer, First one is England rugby. One word.
Yes. Yeah, good. I'm so bad at this. I'm literally the worst person to ask this kind of stuff.
So,
I'll be saying good every time.
You can't say good anymore, so good. Family?
Yeah, home.
Rugby?
Just passionate. Passion, yeah. Passion.
New Zealand?
I just want to say loved it, yeah. Loved it.
Queens?
Oh, home again.
Super Rugby?
Amazing experience. It's two words, sorry.
We'll put a hyphen in it. Forwards?
Forwards. Big.
James Chisholm. Come on, this should be an easy one.
Big oh, my God. Just weird. Just weird.
Yeah, he would be in the top three. Of that,
he's probably the weirdest. He's probably the weirdest person I've come across in a rugby setting. 100%.
You didn't. You'd never met Jeff Parlin. Jeff Parlin is more weird.
Is he? Oh wow.
Yeah. Seriously. England under 18s.
Yeah. Amazing. Good experience. Great coach.
Stop it. Premiership rugby.
Yeah. These are hard ones because, like, they're just, you know, they're just
one word.
Premiership rugby. Yeah, just Quins.
Quins, nice, mate. Mate, it's been awesome. I was so excited when I noticed that you had the opportunity. I'm obviously stay safe. Look forward to watching you as the game goes on. But you know, really excited about you coming back and. Making it.
Thanks, mate.
Yes. A real good fist of it. So, mate, I'm just going to press off. Thanks very much. You've been a legend.